Hello, this is Scooter. Thanks for joining me at Fish Toast. We're up to episode 9 here, and we're going to start talking about some hard baits. Hard lures, crank baits, spinner baits, some stuff like that. Probably a little top water in here, though I'm going to kind of push that one in. There's a lot going on there, so we'll push that to a little bit more in detail, but we'll cover the basics of it. So again, we're kind of in our beginner season here, so we're pretty new to fishing. I'm hoping that you've been getting out fishing and, you know, maybe keep listening to some more of these podcasts to sort of, you know, bring you along easily into some slightly more advanced stuff. And you know, hopefully you've been out and getting some bait fishing in there, and maybe you've tried some plastics and rubber baits and stuff so far as well. So we're going to kind of just continue along the line here with these hard baits. So if you haven't done that yet, any of the rubber bait fishing, if you're a beginner, it's a good way to start because you can fish it a little slower. You're not constantly reeling and doing, you know, some jigging and stuff. I mean, you can be, but you can fish them a little bit slower, get the hang of some of the techniques and stuff. And you want to be pretty good with casting when you start to get into the more the hard lures, because they're pretty expensive. You don't want to put them into some trees. You don't want to fish them in places where you shouldn't be fishing them. And by that I mean, if you're in really shallow water, you don't want to be fishing something that's going to go really deep that you're going to, you know, possibly end up losing, because again, they're pretty pricey, and you don't want to be kind of wasting your money on stuff. So you know, make sure your casting is pretty good. It does not need to be perfect. You know, you don't need to throw it you know, spot on every time. That's okay. You just want to make sure that you're always constantly getting it pretty close to where you were aiming at. It's better to be a little short of where you're aiming than too far, typically, because too far sometimes is on the other side and on the ground, and that's no good either. But we'll kind of cover some of that stuff here. So with hard baits and stuff like that, again, we're talking about, or hard lures, we're talking about resin or wood crankbaits, and these are guys that are sort of going to look like torpedoes or fish kind of shaped. But either way, they're sort of a long, slender tube for the most part. You're going to see some wiggle warts and stuff like that are really short and almost round, really. they're kind of funny looking, but they're pretty productive, and they are a lot smaller. So these are meant to replicate fish or perhaps crayfish moving through the water, different things like that. And the common thread between them all is going to be, you're going to have a loop or a hoop at one end, a little eye to tie your line onto. Again, lure fishing, I typically tie line directly to the lure as opposed to using a snap swivel, but you can. Another convenient or easy way to do this is if you tie a piece of line and you put a loop at each end, okay? You know, you tie a loop on with like a, I believe that's called a surgeon's knot, but you just sort of tie like one, you double the line over and then tie it one time through itself, almost like you're tying your shoes, but before you do the bigger loops, just that one simple half of a square knot. So you want to make sure you've got the double line everywhere where that's going and pulling tight through. You can clip off a little extra and that's going to hold. You got a loop. So give yourself a nice 12-inch, 18-inch piece of line after the loops are tied. So you're going to start with like a 24 or 30 inch piece of fishing line, and you can tie the loop at each end, and then you can just simply use that loop, push it through the loop on the nose of the lure you're using, and then pull the line, or take the other loop and put it through that one and pull it tight. Now it's tied to the lure, and then you can take the other loop end and put it on your snap swivel. So your snap swivel is not right up against the lure, because it can affect the action. This isn't, again, not the ideal situation. You're better off tying it every time. But if you do this and you've got yourself a couple of pieces of, we call these leaders, when you've got an extra piece of string kind of in there used to some capacity, that's called a leader. So you could tie up a couple of leaders ahead of time, and then you can swap out your lures a little faster that way. But again, I typically just tie the lure directly on. You can use the snap swivel on there if you want to. Most of the lures are designed to kind of float a particular direction, so they're staying vertical. So if it was like a fish, it's staying upright in the water. And even when you move it around and so forth, it's going to kind of stay oriented that direction under the water. Just food for thought there anyway. So now So now you've got this sort of tube or torpedo shaped. You know, again, they're made out of resins, plastics, and so forth, or wood sometimes. The older ones were typically always made of wood, but there's a lot of new ones now that they're mostly made of some type of resin. So, again, it's going to have that torpedo shape, and then there's usually going to be like a treble hook, so a hook with three points on it, hanging somewhere off the belly, and then one at the tail. And if it's a bigger one, a 6 or 7 inch long one, it might have two sets of hooks on the belly, one up towards the front, one in the middle, and one towards the back, or one on the back. On these ones, we're going to kind of focus in, again, we're primarily looking for bass at this point, but, you know, you can get real small ones to use for, you know, panfish or crappie, and they're going to be, you know, you're going to want a light setup because they're not going to weigh very much, and you're typically not going to use any kind of weights when you're fishing something like this, with the crankbaits anyways. So that's kind of them. Now, they'll have a bill on the front. We're going to get into talking about what that is. It's a little lip underneath the nose of the fish, kind of. Almost looks like a mouth coming down underneath there. And we're going to go over that in a minute, but I want to just hit real quick on the other ones we're going to talk about. So we're also going to talk a little bit about spinner baits. And we might start with those just because they are one of the easiest to fish. They're pretty enjoyable to fish. And you can work them over a lot of water quickly, which is really nice. We're also going to have jigs. And a little bit of top water we're going to talk about. So let's hit on the spinner baits real quick. So a spinner bait is going to look like almost like a paper clip that has been opened up, and it's in kind of a pie shape. So you're going to have a loop, or imagine this. Imagine it's a V shape, and you're looking at the V upside down. So at the top of the V, where the point is, you're going to have a loop that you can tie your line to or hook your snap swivel to. But again, especially on spinner baits, don't usually use snap swivels. You're going to want to tie directly onto these. Your snap swivels can actually slide down either leg of the V because it's usually not, well, sometimes they are, but a lot of times it's not a closed eye hole where you're hooking onto or tying onto. And if it slides down one side when you're retrieving that, it's not at the angle that it's supposed to be able to be fished properly. So spinner baits, you always want to tie them on directly to your line. So on one end of that V now, when we're talking about the two bottom points, on one side you're going to have a jig, and we're going to talk about jigs, but you're going to have a jig that's attached to this end. And what a jig is, it's a weight, and it's going to usually be a little odd shaped. It's not going to be perfectly round. It's going to sort of be wedge shaped almost, but there's a ton of different designs to them, but usually it's going to be a little odd shaped. And a jig is going to effectively be a weight with a hook coming out of the bottom of it. And then right below where the weight is, it has a skirt on it. And that skirt is basically made up of little fingers or strands of rubber that hang down. And it just kind of makes a big presentation under the water, and it's pretty cool. It sort of looks like the bottom of the tube jigs we talked about in plastics. So, you know, they're going to be hanging down there, and the hook's kind of hiding back in all those little fingers and stuff, which makes it pretty nice. So that's what's on one side. You've basically got a jig on one side. On the other side are your spinners, or your blades, as we refer to them. And they're going to basically be two shapes. They're going to be sort of round, or they're going to be willow shaped. And the willow shape looks like a willow leaf. It's kind of like a long bladed, and it looks like a leaf on a willow tree. And you'll find it where you'll have two willow blades, which is, it's called a double willow. You'll see where it's got two rounded ones. You'll have one rounded one and one willow. And all they're meant to do is they spin around, and they're typically shiny, and they're going to throw off light. So as they're flickering around underwater and they're spinning, they're throwing off light, which can draw the fish in, especially when they're hungry and feeding aggressively. And they're also going to have some little beads and stuff mixed in there that are going to rattle. So not only is it flashing light, it's making a lot of sound. So these are baits that are really going to put out a big presentation underwater. And if the fish aren't hungry, it's going to spook them. they're going to kind of stay away from it. If they're pretty hungry, they're going to go after it. Now, if you get it to them, and you know, you can have certain times when they're just sort of laying there and you get past the fish, you'll get reaction bites where it's just like, oh my God, there's something there, and they hit it. You know, it's kind of a funny thing, but they do that a lot, you know, because they're always, they're predators. They're looking for things that they can take advantage of or situations. So if something's moving through there and they think it's food, they may just try and snap it up real quick before they even think of what in the heck it is. And spinners tend to fish a little faster because you're going to constantly retrieve these, and we're going to go over that here in just a second. But they're pretty heavy, so they cast well. The skirt that's on there, though, is a little bit big and fluffy, kind of, so it, when you cast them, they're not exactly aerodynamic, but with the weight on there, they do cast pretty far, and you're going to want to retrieve them pretty quickly in most instances. And we're going to talk about a few ways you can not do that, but we'll go over that. So the most standard way, well, again, when you pick one out, I'm going to go over colors of these ones at the end of that, this little part, but you want to tie your line on at the top of the V. Again, the V's upside down, and you're going to, there's going to be a little loop there. It might be a closed loop where the paper clip, if you will, is twisted, or it may just be sort of open and kind of narrowed down at the bottom. So you just want to tie on at the very top, so when you'd hold your rod out, it's hanging straight down, the hook is down, the blades are hanging down, that V is pointing straight up in the air. So once you've tied one on, you throw it out there, and you can do the first process, which we're going to call just a straight retrieve. So a straight retrieve is just what it sounds like. It's going to hit the water. You can let it sink a little bit to let it go under the water some, and they're going to sink pretty fast. And then you're just going to reel. And you can adjust the speed of your reel to adjust to how fast it's moving through the water. You don't need to go crazy fast, but you don't want to go super slow either. You want to be somewhere in the middle where it's a nice, comfortable reel to maintain. And on this type of setup, a lot of times you want to maintain the speed, okay? And this is, we're talking about just a straight retrieval. You're just going to reel in and maintain that speed. So it's just going to be pulling right towards you. It's going to be coming through the water right at you. And fish will see that and hopefully hit it. If they're not hitting it when you're casting it out, try slowing it down a little bit. Try speeding it up a little bit. That can make a big difference. Now, typically, the faster you retrieve it, the higher up in the water it's going to be, and the slower you retrieve it, the farther it's going to sink. So keep that in mind. They're not great baits if you're in real shallow water, because they're going to sink pretty quickly. And, if they start hanging up on the bottom and stuff like that, they don't do well in that kind of thing, because it throws off what they're doing, and you don't quite get the reaction that you want if it's kind of bouncing along the bottom. Now, I say that, and that is a technique you can use these for, but that's sort of a different technique where you're going to let it sink and fall to the bottom, and then lift the tip of your rod up in the air to pull it up off the bottom, and then start to reel a bit, and then you can let it drop again. So you're sort of going to bounce it a little bit off the bottom. I don't recommend doing it a whole lot, but if you're, you know, if you're reeling in and you're seeing fish following it, but they're not going after it, sometimes that pause and it starts to sink. And when it sinks, those blades are still going to move a little bit because it's still in motion. That can be a good time for a reaction bite or a fish to finally commit to actually biting it, rather than just following it to see what in the heck's going on. You know, it's thinking, hey, this is something weird swimming through here. Oh, it's dying. Let's go eat it. So you kind of look at it that way. So that can be a good way. Now, there's another technique we can use. Well, there's kind of two more. One is called you'll hear me talk about this a lot, which is twitching. And we talked about twitching in the last episode. Where, you know, as you're reeling in, just twitch the end of your rod a little bit, or flick the end of the rod about a foot or two, and that's going to make it dart forward a little bit, or a little bit off to a side. And then as you kind of, you know, you move the rod back forward that little bit, it's going to pause a little bit, maybe drop a little bit, and so we're just getting a little bit of erratic movement out of it. The other one is the slow move to the side. So if you were aiming right at where your lure is, straight out in front of you in the water, and you go kind of slow off to one side, 90 degrees, it's going to speed it up pretty quick while you're moving it over. And then when you move the rod back, it's going to pause long enough to drop down in the water, and then when your reel kind of catches back up, it's going to start pulling through the water again. So it's going to give it some nice movements. That's one of my favorite ways to fish it, aside from a straight retrieve. And a straight retrieve, you can do that, and you know, part of the way through it, give it a pause. Let it stop for a minute, let it sink a little bit, and then start reeling in a little faster. So you can fish these a lot of different ways, and you can cover a lot of water quickly with these. Now, if you're going to go out and get a couple spinner baits to throw in your you know, beginner tackle box, we'll call it, you want to get, I would recommend you get one or two in a lighter color, one or two in kind of a medium color, and one or two in a darker color. Now, you're going to see that they're not all one color. You've got, you know, bright colored blades that are painted on part of them, and then they're shiny on other parts, and you're going to see, you know, ones that are, you know, the jig head has a white head on it and a black skirt, or, you know, so there's a pile of colors. We're sort of looking at the overall color here. So if you get one that's white and it's got a black head and some black dots on the blades, that's fine. That's still considered a light one. And sometimes those little bit of patterns on there can make a big difference. The medium ones, you know, we're going to look in the reds and the greens and even blues. And then you can get some pretty dark ones, real dark greens or blacks or dark reds or dark browns and so forth. So get a little mix. You can usually buy them in some kits that'll have a few different ones in them. If you just want to get one or two, their spinner baits typically aren't real expensive. You know, $2 to $5 a piece, say. So if you just want to pick up one or two to put in your tackle box, I'd probably recommend you get something in the middle line, unless you know the water you're fishing in is always muddy or a little bit stained. Then you may want to go real dark or real bright, just so there's contrast to the water there. But again, on the spinners, because they're throwing off some light, they're throwing off sound, even if I fish in muddy waters, I typically wouldn't use a medium colored or a natural colored lure, because you can't see them as well. But when you've got all this flash and stuff going on, you could still use a medium color. So I don't want to, you know, corner you and say use this particular type. Look at them, see what looks interesting to you, something you feel like you would want to fish, and try it out. You know, it's a great and easy way to start lure fishing, but you will fish quickly. You'll be reeling a lot and casting a lot, so just keep that in mind before you take one out and use it. So that should wrap us up pretty good on spinners. Let's move on to the crankbaits. So the crankbaits, again, we talked a little bit about them, but they're going to have that bill on the front side underneath the nose, kind of like back sort of where a mouth would be on a fish. And it's usually like a clear plastic. Sometimes they're colored, or they're just a metal blade on there. And if you look at that, you'll notice it's scooped or angled forward. And so that's going to make it dive. So when you pull that bait towards you, once you tie on to the eye and the nose, and you're pulling that in, if you look at it, it's like a shovel. It's digging down into the water. So it's going to make that crankbait sink as you pull it in. It's going to drive it down. Now, there's three factors we're going to look at when we're talking about these bills, and that is the length of the bill, the width of the bill, and the angle of it. Okay, so they're all three of those things combined, but they do different things. So a long bill, as opposed to a short one, one that sticks out real far, that's going to make it dive deeper. The angle of the bill is going to make it, that's going to be the deciding factor on how fast it dives. If it's a real shallow bill, so that the bill is actually almost laying up underneath the fish, running parallel along its body, so it's a real minimal angle in there, that means it's going to dive slower. If it's a real sharp angle, not down 90 degrees, you won't see them quite at 90 degrees, but they stick almost straight down off the bottom of the fish, that's going to make it dive faster. So, you know, if you have a short bill that's angled down a lot, it's not going to go real deep, but it's going to go down quickly to the point that it's designed to go to. A long bill that has the same thing is also going to dive, you know, that's angled real sharp, pointing straight down. It's going to go deep, and it's going to get there fast. If it's angled up more, you know, less of an angle off the bottom of the fish, it's going to dive shallow, or it's going to go down quickly, I mean, but it's going to go deep, but it's going to go slowly, whenever the angle is less there at the bottom. So, you know, and you'll find every variation and combination in between. The last one is the width of the bill. And typically, there are some variations to this because they'll change the design of the bill that make it do different things. But for the most part, the width of the bill is going to control how fast the butt end of it wobbles and wiggles back and forth. If it's real wide, it will typically, that can help it dive a little faster too, but typically what it's doing is it's making it waddle faster. The whole butt end is swinging back and forth really quickly. And if it's a real narrow bill, it's not going to wobble as fast. There's a lot of other factors in here. The size and shape of the bill can help control that the fish stays upright or the lure stays upright. And, you know, if it was a really, really narrow bill and it's kind of a wider bait, it may want to cause it to tank to either side and wobble side to side and so forth. So there's a ton of factors. But with beginning here, I just sort of want to get you an idea of what these are looking for. So for the most part, we're going to stick to something that's pretty moderate here. And on the boxes that you buy these lures in, they're typically going to tell you that this dives 10 to 12 feet or 8 to 10 feet or something like that. So keep in mind, if you're fishing somewhere where it's shallow and you know, hey, it's a pond and in the middle it's 8 feet deep, you don't want to buy one that's going to dive 12 to 14 feet deep because that's what it's going to do, and it's going to go down and just hit off the bottom, and you're going to end up cracking the lure somewhere or getting it caught up on something. You know, if you're fishing somewhere where you see a lot of logs down in the water and they're maybe 4 or 5 feet deep, you only want to fish something that's going to go down to maybe 4 feet, so you're staying above all that stuff. So, you know, having something that's a little shallower, something that's a little medium, and something that's a little deeper is good. If you're going to start with something, try and think of the water you're going to be fishing in to pick something that's going to work best for that water and that situation. And when you're shore fishing, of course, as it gets close to the shore, you're going to be getting in shallower water. So this is where crankbaits can be really difficult for you to fish, because as you get it close to the shore, it still wants to keep diving, and it's going to, you know, it's going to grind along the rocks in the bottom until you actually get it to you. If you keep your rod tip way up in the air in front of you, and as you get close to you real quicker, you'll kind of help offset that, so you can sort of get it up to the top of the water faster and then bring it in kind of quickly. Even if you got to sort of glide it across the top, almost water ski it, it can help if you're, you know, if you've got 10 feet of real shallow water in front of you before it drops off. You can try that to sort of help, you know, so you can use something that'll fish a little deeper. But when it comes up to that rock wall, there's a good chance, or that drop off, that you're going to be bumping into the front of that until you get it up to the shallow water and can pull it up a little bit higher. So yeah, kind of keep that stuff in mind. I would recommend picking out some colors that look like the natural bait fish in the area. If, for example, where I'm at, perch are a really good bait fish. It's a fish that a lot of, you know, bass and other fish eat. And, it's kind of an orangey, rusty kind of color with some black, almost pyramid or diamond-shaped stripes on the sides. And so you'll see baits that look like this, and they can be really good. So if you pick yourself up something that looks something natural, it's going to look a bit like some type of bait fish that you have in your local waters. And I'd recommend at this point, you probably get something in about a 4 to 5 inch range. You can get bigger if you know there's a lot of big bass in there and stuff. Bass are pretty funny creatures, though. They'll easily try and go after something that's only half their size. So if you're fishing with a 5-inch crankbait, you might think, boy, this looks big, but you'll catch, 10-inch bass all day on it if they're hitting on it, because they'll go after stuff that's pretty darn big, bigger than you'd think. So don't worry too much about that. You can certainly get them a little bit bigger, 6-inch, 7-inch even. I don't have a lot of anything that's much bigger than that. And, I do go after some big bass from time to time, some muskie and pike and stuff like that from time to time. And I don't put anything out there that's really any bigger than probably a 5 or 6-inch crankbait. And then I have a whole bunch of different ones that dive to different depths and dive quicker, dive slower, etc. And, over the years, you just kind of build those things up. If you go out and you think like you're fishing and maybe you're catching a few and you're like, you've got some hits here, but you're fishing in water that's deeper and you're not getting down there deep enough, get one with a bigger bill on it, in the same color that you were using before, if that's what they were hitting on. Or if you realize you're dragging on the bottom a lot, but it's a color that you feel like it's going to work, or it has been working in areas that were a little deeper. Get the same color or similar color in something that's going to go dive a lot shallower. So over the years, you just sort of learn and grow your assortment of crankbaits that you have. And, you know, like now I've got, I couldn't even begin to guess how many I have, but I got to be pushing 100 of them. You know, so there's just a lot of them out there, and, you know, they do get expensive. For a decent one, you're going to pay $6 to $8 for one. And then you can get into the really good ones, and, you know, you might pay up to $20 for some of them, depending on what they are. So, you know, keep that in mind. Now, I'd also recommend that you get one that's pretty bright, you know, a bright orange, a bright silver, that's almost metallic looking, that it's going to throw off light. You know, they reflect a lot. And then get something that's pretty dark. Now, you probably won't see one that's like all black or all dark red. It's going to have a little eye painted on both sides, and you know, it'll have maybe a stripe down the side. That stuff's okay. A lot of times they're meant to replicate a real fish, or something similar to it anyways. And so some of those things that break it up a little bit can really help. It can be hard to tell you which type to use, but I just wanted to pick out a few for you. So I would recommend something in about a 5-inch, in almost like a chrome. You know, it might be a little textured, so it almost looks like it has scales. That's fine, as long as it's got some good shine to it, that it's going to reflect some light. And if it's got a little pinstripe running back the side in a black or a blue or a red, that's great too. So something like that, something in like a perch or whatever your natural, or whatever your pretty standard bait fish type as a shad or something like that in the local waters you're fishing in, that can be really good. Something in like a pumpkin seed or a bluegill kind of color. You know, when they're younger, they're a pretty good food source for bass and stuff. So that can work pretty well. And again, then I usually try and do something darker just in case the water, you know, I might just try it and see how it's done. I've actually never done that great with the real dark colored ones. But I do, you know, they look pretty cool, and you know, they fish just the same as the others. So we're going to sort of fish these guys in the same way we've been talking about. You can do a straight retrieve. You're just going to reel it in, and, you know, constant motion, and every once in a while you can stop, you can twitch, you can do the slow pull to the side while constantly reeling. You can reel in a little bit and just stop, reel in a little bit and stop, reel in a little bit and stop. Now, this can be, any of those can work pretty well. You know, certain types are going to work better in certain types. You know, if the fish are actively feeding and they're chasing it around, straight retrievals can work really good because it's just a fish moving through, they're hungry, they're going to go after it. If they're a little bit sluggish, you can reel in a little bit, stop, reel in a little bit and stop. And that stop can trigger the bite, because now it's like, okay, I don't have to chase this thing as hard. It's stopping, it's dying, I'm going to go get it. So those are some pretty good things to keep in mind with fishing that. Now, the last thing I want to talk about on crank, well, I mean, it's not the last thing, we're going to hit one or two more things. But one of the important things is you will see on the box when you buy them, they'll say they're floating, sinking, or suspended. Okay, and it's kind of self-explanatory. So if you reel one in underwater a little bit, if it's floating, a floating type, when you stop, it's going to start to float back up towards the top. If it's suspended, it's just going to stop where it is. Those tend to be my favorites, but again, there's always different reasons to use different things. If it says it's sinking, then when you stop reeling, it's going to start to sink. Simple enough. So where this kind of comes into play in some different ways, you know, again, you can do the start stop whatever way you do it, but where some of the fun stuff gets in is like when you're fishing a floating one. If you're in shallow water and it's going to dive fast and maybe like to a medium depth, and let's say you're out there and you're like, you know what, there's a sandbar out there or something out in front of you that you got to get up over. Well, you can reel in and let it dive a little deeper until you get close to that sandbar, and then just wait a minute and let it float back up to the top. And then you can reel it back in, even if you have to do it in spurts, letting it keep floating back up to the top. till you get over top of it, and then you can start to reel and fish it like normal. So that's an example where a floating one can work out pretty well for you. It can be pretty versatile. If you're going to be fishing somewhere where you know you're going to start and stop a lot, and you want to fish it pretty deep, but you like the action of something that's going to fish a little bit shallower, you can cast it out and let it sit for a minute and let it sink way down there, and then start reeling in if you're fishing somewhere where the water's real deep and you're trying to get down to where they are. So it's hard to point in a particular direction on these because I don't know what kind of water you're fishing in, but add a couple, two or three of them to start with. 4 or 5 inch range, something pretty bright and flashy, something pretty neutral and kind of realistic looking, and maybe something dark. If it was me, I'd tell you don't worry about the real dark ones yet, but it's up to you. You know, whatever you like to try. Most of the time I get out there and I think, boy, that just looks really cool. I'm going to get one. And that's how I've ended up with a lot of the ones I've had. So and I might not have done any good with them at all, but they're in my tackle box, and every once in a while they make it out into the water. So we'll try that. So I think that should kind of cover us on crankbaits. Now, you are going to see different shapes and sizes and all kinds of wild stuff going on with these things. Start simple. Pick a few of the ones that are more basic. One little trick, if you're in a store and you're looking at stuff and you're trying to figure out, like, okay, which one do I use? Well, they're going to stock the most of the popular ones. So if you see there's two or three rows of this particular size or design, and maybe there's two or three manufacturers of this particular color, there's a good chance that those are ones that work well in that area. So you keep that in mind when you're out there looking for a few, if you see a lot of them. And again, especially when it comes to lure fishing, it can be tough to get started on your own without having a little direction from somebody local. Somebody that knows the waters a little bit better, somebody that knows good places to use them. If you know somebody that fishes on a boat, lure fishing is definitely easier on a boat than it is from the shoreline. And we're going to kind of cover a little bit of that stuff here towards the end. But keep that in mind. So we've covered our spinner baits, we've covered our crankbaits. We're going to talk a little bit about jigs. And then we're going to finish off with some top water. So the jigs are, again, we go back to the spinner baits. They basically have a jig already on one end. So if you can imagine, all a jig is it's a weight with an eye on a top, like where you tie it in. Now, it's usually not right on the point. It's going to be off on one side a little bit. And then it's going to have a skirt. And inside that skirt is the hook that goes up into the jig head. You can fish them just like this. You can put a rubber worm on that hook. So the skirt actually has a little worm trailer coming out of the back of it, or a little fluke, like a little fish looking thing coming out of the back of it. And this can be really productive ways to fish this. Now, you will often hear me refer to jig heads as wrecking balls. I always call them that. And here's why. They weigh a ton. They cast nicely. And when you get them in the water, I use them to just kind of beat the snot out of the bottom of the water. I'm bouncing them off of rocks, hitting them off of logs, anything I can find that's just causing a ruckus underwater. And you don't have to fish them this way. You can finesse them a little bit more. But again, I'm kind of hitting them off of things under the water, dragging them through weeds. So I typically will buy jig heads. You'll see them, or jigs that are weedless. They'll have like a little whisker sticking out of the top of them that sort of comes out and protects the hook a little bit. And that way you're not snagging up so much on stuff. If you are going to fish jig heads, and especially if you're going to fish them this way, you want to make sure you've got at least 10-pound test on your line or on your reel, if not heavier. Most of the setups I have that I fish jig heads on are 15-pound test, if not something like a 15-pound braid, which is actually will fish a lot heavier than 15-pound monofilament. But we'll get into the breakdown of lines later. So, if you're fishing a light setup with 6-pound test, avoid jig heads for now, because it's not really, you can fish them, but it's not really set up for them. If you're fishing somewhere where it's just a gravel bottom, which again, the fish don't hang out in those spots a whole lot, unless it's, the water's been cold and now the sun's out, so the water's warming up and they hang out in these kind of sunny spots and stuff, but they typically don't hang out there. They're going to be jigs are pretty productive, at least for me, fishing around real rocky areas, real weedy areas, stuff that's got some nice stick-ups underwater, like some logs or you know, trees that have fallen over into the water and so forth. I tend to fish pretty much almost exclusively green-colored jigs, something dark green, something like a watermelon green, but they make them all different colors, different colored jig heads to the skirts. You can actually buy kits where you can mix and match the skirts to whatever jig head you want, and they're relatively inexpensive. I mean, sometimes you can find them for $1.50 a piece or so, so you know, not a big deal there. You're probably going to want to look for something in a 3/8 to ½ ounce range, roughly, though. You can get them a lot bigger, three quarters of an ounce, something like that. But again, if you're fishing something that heavy, you want to be a little bit higher on the pound test you have on that particular setup. So keep that in mind. But jig heads can be a lot of fun. They're another one where you can cover a lot of water quickly. You can let them sit on the bottom for a little while. You don't really want to straight retrieve them too much without giving them some kind of action, because they don't have a tail or flashy, you know, blades that are going to really do a lot. It's just going to look like kind of a blob of stuff moving through the water. And so you do want to let them go to the bottom and lift them up, drop them down, reel them in a little bit, bounce them around. You know, they're kind of fun to fish in that scenario. But again, you know, as a beginner one, it's a little tougher one to fish. Now, one I forgot to mention, and I probably should talk about it, because they're kind of newer baits. And when I say newer, I mean they've been around for 20 years. But you know, a lot of these other ones we've been talking around been around a really long time. And these are swim baits, and swim baits are going to sort of work like a crankbait. But usually what they're going to be is, it's going to be like a fish. It's going to look just like a fish, and it's going to have a bunch of breaks in it. And those breaks, it's connected by some kind of almost like fabric or string. And if you put it in the water and just drag it, put your rod tip out over the water and drag it through the water, this thing is going to look like a live swimming fish. They're pretty slick. I know a lot of people have done really, really well with them. I'm not one of them. I've caught fish on them, but I have never been really productive with them. But they're pretty fun to watch fishing, and I know it's probably my techniques, you know, fishing them. But again, you know, they're pretty neat. Those ones tend to be one of the more expensive baits, because there's a lot that goes into making them. But you can find them at probably $7 or $8 a piece for some of them. The last one I want to touch on kind of quickly, because I could dedicate probably a couple of episodes, but we'll touch on them in a future episode, is going to be topwater. Topwater is probably one of the most exciting ways to fish that there is, because you cast the line out, and the topwater is on top of the water, and you're going to pull it across the top, and it's going to stay on top of the water. And different ones are going to have different ways you fish them, and these techniques are pretty critical depending on what you're fishing. Some of them are really simple. Whopper ploppers, torpedoes that have like a little tail on them, or buzz baits, which are sort of like a spinner, like the spinner blade or spinner baits, but they have a propeller as opposed to just blades. And so when you reel them in, that propeller actually keeps them up on top of the water, and it chops into the water and makes a pretty cool sound. But all these are designed to be flashy. They're designed to kind of show off a little bit and make some noise, and so that fish underneath, again, most of the time fish are looking up. They're down somewhere. They're looking ahead or up for something to eat. So if you get a rubber frog even, or some kind of thing like this that comes across the top of the water, there's a lot of technique involved in that. But if you get into some like whopper ploppers or the buzz baits and stuff, you can just retrieve them a little bit, and they're going to have like a tail or something on them. Like the whopper plopper has this big tail that spins in the water, and you spin it a little bit and you stop it, and you spin it a little bit, you know, or when I say spin it, you're reeling it, you reel a little bit, stop it, reel a little bit and stop it, or just straight retrieve it, and it's just going to have that thing. It seems to make some kind of noise that the fish must love, because I've seen a lot of people tear them up. I use them from time to time and have had pretty good luck with them, mostly Canada and stuff like that, but I've had some luck around here with them as well. And you know, a buzz bait, you're just going to reel it in pretty quickly, and it's just going to chop its way across the top of the water. The other ones you need a lot of different types of techniques for, and I do want to touch on that. But when a fish comes up after something like that, especially a nice big old bass, they come blasting out of the water grabbing the bait. Sometimes they will just kind of scoop it in. They'll come right up to the side and just kind of suck it down in. And so there's not a huge thing, but still you're seeing it happen. And when they explode out of the water to hit these things, it's just awesome. It kind of scares the crap out of you for a quick second. One thing to keep in mind when you're setting the hook on these, most of these lures and stuff we're talking about, they've got big hooks or a lot of hooks and so forth. So when you feel a fish hit it, you want to set the hook pretty hard. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. But the top water ones, you want to be careful. If they come up out of the water, their mouth is open. So if you see them barreling out of the water and you hurry up and jerk that rod, you're going to pull the bait right out of their mouth. You almost want to wait until they've turned. So once they've turned away from you or have turned and gone back down underwater with the bait, that's when you set the hook. Now, talking about setting the hook with lures, especially for bass, you want to set the hook harder than you think you probably should. When you are fishing for bass, they've got a real tough mouth. And you know, you need to make sure those hooks go in far enough that it goes past the barb, or the hook can, or the fish can throw the hook pretty easily. And when I say hard, you don't need to move it super far. You want to move, if you're you know, when you're fishing, your rod's not going to be aimed right out at where you're fishing. It's going to be up in the air a little bit, maybe off to a side a little bit. That's fine. What you want to do is move it about, for lack of a better term, if you're fishing and it's aimed out at 1 o'clock right now, you're going to want to get back at least to 3 o'clock. And you're going to want to do that with speed and with force. You don't want to keep going past 3 o'clock. You want to get to 3 o'clock as aggressively as you can. So it's a solid, forceful pull quickly. Okay, you don't want to go too far because you can pull that out of the mouth if it didn't quite set properly and so forth, but you got to make sure you've got some force behind it. If you just kind of limply pull it to the side, you know, you're not getting enough force that's going to transfer, because your rod's going to bend, the line's going to stretch, you're going to have a lot of stuff going on between you and the fish, so you want to make sure that you're actually going to hook that fish. So you want a pretty good movement, and I know you're going to say, that seems like I'm setting the hook way too hard. I promise you, with bass, you're not doing it. It's a pretty hard hook set. You don't want to swing it the whole way back around behind you. You know, if you do it slow and swing it around behind you, you're probably just going to pull it out of its mouth, or you're going to do something else. You want a good, quick, swift, forceful movement that's not a huge amount of distance. And that's going to transfer the most power from you down to where that bait is to set the hook. If you're fishing for panfish and trout and stuff, you don't need that. A quick, just almost the flick of the end of the rod, as long as the line's pretty snug, you know, just a pretty quick flick will set the hook in them. Their mouths are much softer. Usually you're using much smaller hooks, which are easier to get in to the mouth, as opposed to like a bigger hook with that barb on there. You know, you've got to have a lot of force to get that in there. So kind of keep that in mind a little bit when we're talking lures and setting hooks and stuff. And I would like to touch more on that as we kind of move into the intermediate phase, if you will, of fishing and stuff, which we'll get into in season two, which I'm kind of hoping I'm going to hit here pretty soon. So if you really want to get something top water, though, to start fishing some top water, get something that's easy to fish. A little torpedo, it's going to look like a torpedo, and it might have a little blade on the back of it, like a propeller. Those you can just fish, retrieve them a little bit, stop, retrieve them a little bit, stop, or you can do a continuous retrieve. The whopper ploppers, the buzz baits, stuff like that's going to be easier. You're going to see stuff like jitterbugs that have these big wide open fins up front, sort of like the crankbaits do. You know, so you'll see some stuff like that. Those aren't bad, but you got to fish them just right. You're going to see torpedoes without them on the back, and you're going to use a technique, or at least I do, called walking the dog. And it's a little tricky to get the timing down just right. And when you change the size of it, it changes the timing. So if you change the diameter of it, it changes the timing. So they can be a little tricky, so you got to get a good feel for them. Again, stick with some of the ones that are a little bit simpler to start with. You know, you could even get some rubber frogs, or these rubber, they look like mice. You know, they end up in ponds or whatever, and the big bass just come up and scarf them up. And, you know, so if you just kind of reel them across the top of the water a little bit, you know, making some movements, slow them down, speed them up, stop them, stuff like that, again, can be pretty productive. So Colors are going to be all over the board again. I don't think colors are nearly as important on top water, other than the fact if you go white and then everything else, or at least really light colored and everything else. I've never noticed a real big difference in anything else, whether it's a, you know, red or green or black. It seems like any of them work if they're working. If you see fish when you're out there and they're coming up to the top to feed on stuff, that's a great time to tie one on, throw a few of them out there. See what you can get. And again, if you do that, you're going to be like, I want to fish top water all the time. And unfortunately, you can't. There's just a lot of times they're not feeding on top of the water. But it is pretty fun and exciting when you do it. So hopefully this is going to help you out a lot. I know there's a ton of information I've missed. But again, if you're a beginner, I just sort of want to get you out there and trying a few lures. Don't worry about going out and buying a little bit of everything right now. Go out and pick one or two things that look interesting or sound interesting to you and how you want to fish them. Starting with the plastics is a great way to start with lure fishing. Starting with a few simpler crankbaits or spinner baits is pretty good. A little bit of top water even. So get out there and try some stuff. You know, pick up one or two and go out there and have some fun. Let me know how you're doing. And if there's some tips you need to hit on something else, let me know. If I don't know the answer to it, I'll figure it out, or we'll see if we can get somebody else to answer it for us, and we'll go from there. But get out there, try some new stuff. Best of luck, tight lines, and I'll be talking to you here real soon. Take care.